Welcome to Life Church. We are an Acts 2:42 community, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you're ready to hear what God has to say to you today through His Word and by His Spirit.
I've called what I'm preaching into tonight 7 miles with Jesus. So 7 miles is about the distance from my house in Great Sankey to the village of Lym and the Methodist church here in Lym. 7 miles, it would take you about 2.5 hours, 3 hours to walk. And the reason I say that is because what we're looking at this evening is we're looking at an occasion on the day when Jesus rose from the dead, where two of Jesus' disciples, we know that one of their name was Cleopas, we don't know the name of the other one, but two of Jesus' disciples were walking from Jerusalem and they were going to a place called Emmaus. And the Bible says it was a 7 mile walk. And during that time, as the disciples walked along that road, Jesus came and spent some time with them, but I don't know how, but they just didn't recognize who he was. But they walked with him, he talked with them, and he encouraged them. The reason why those two disciples were leaving Jerusalem on Resurrection Sunday was because they were confused and discouraged and disappointed at what had gone on. They had seen Jesus crucified on the Good Friday, and as far as they were concerned, he was dead, he was finished. Like this guy who they thought would be their Messiah, he would be their Moses, he would be their rescuer. They were leaving Jerusalem that day because there were rumors around where Jesus' body, but there was no indication from these two disciples that Jesus had risen from the dead. They were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus in a place of disappointment. Things had not gone according to plan. And as they walked on those 7 miles, and all of their hopes and dreams had been dashed, Jesus in his kindness comes and he walks amongst them and he encourages them. And for me, very much this evening, as I share this message with you, I felt I just wanted to remind us that there are moments in our lives too where things do not work out as we think they're going to work out. There are moments in our lives where we might be walking 7 miles in disappointment. There can be hours in our week where maybe for 3 hours we're maybe down and disappointed and we didn't think things would quite work out like this. And as these disciples walked away from Jerusalem in that state of disappointment, Jesus comes. And we see by the end of the story, at the end of the 7 miles, what does Jesus do? Jesus reveals himself to them. They have that aha moment. And they get back to where God wanted them to be at the first place. He wanted them into Jerusalem. He wanted them in Jerusalem because he wanted them to meet the risen Savior. And he wanted them to receive the Holy Spirit that would be given to the church just kind of 50 days later. They needed to be in Jerusalem. And that aha moment, I don't know about you, but for me, often when I've walked a road of disappointment, when I don't really understand why things have gone the way they have, often, in fact, no, always, in the midst of it, you don't see it because you don't realize what's going on. But it's only when you get to the end, as you look back, you can say, Lord, you knew what you were doing all the way along. Lord, forgive me for having a lack of faith. Help me to trust you. And God is so kind that even in those moments of disappointment, as we look back and sometimes we don't understand straight away, but God in his kindness, he shows us and he reveals to us and shows us. And through those situations also, as followers of Jesus, we grow Our shoulders get broader. We become stronger. Like an Emmaus Road experience with all the sense that we can feel disappointed and things have not quite worked out like we have. They're never wasted. Like God uses those moments of disappointment. And so as we look at Luke 24, it's a really lovely dialogue that Jesus has with his disciples. How on earth they don't realize it's Jesus, I don't know. If I had a 7-mile walk with you from Great Sankey to Lim, I'd like to think that after a while, because of maybe kind of the semi-dyed hair and the Cockney twang, after a while you might kind of get it. Oh, it's Lucas, yes. But for some reason they didn't, because the Bible says that they were kept from recognizing him. And we'll talk about why that might be in a moment. So looking at Luke 24, remember, yeah, as we read the text, this is still resurrection. Let's call it Resurrection Sunday, yeah? Jesus has risen in the morning, but these two don't know about it and don't think that anything's happening. And that is why they're taking the journey home, because they're just thinking, we're done here. There's nothing else that's going to happen. And so in Luke 24, verse 13, the Bible says, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing them. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here in these days? What things? Jesus asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in and to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were our hearts not burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened to them on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. It's that verse there in verse 21 where they express their disappointment in the situation that they found themselves in. In verse 21, they said this to Jesus. They said, we had hoped he was the one that was going to. We had hoped he was the one that was going to. With their backs to Jerusalem, they were heading home, they were done. And we have those moments in our lives where we had hoped. We had hoped, maybe we'd hoped that the diagnosis was not as we thought it would be. We'd hoped that it wouldn't be. Where we'd hoped that we were pregnant. Where we'd hoped that we had landed that job. Where we'd hoped that our relationship would last. Where we'd hoped that we would get the grades that we needed. That we'd hoped that it would not work out like this. There are those moments in our lives where we had hoped that it would go one way, but it went another way. But this evening, Life Church, we remind ourselves, as these two disciples would remind us, that the Jesus that walks with us, he knows the end from the beginning. And as those disciples went on that journey, those 3 hours with Jesus, at the end of their lives, at the end of that time with him, their lives were richer because they had experienced him. Often in our lives, we think to ourselves, well, Lord, we want you to do it this way because we think this way is best. And that was very much their story of the two disciples that day. They were looking for a Moses-like figure to come and rescue them. They were looking for a Messiah, not someone that would die upon a cross, but someone who would overcome Rome and all that dominated and ruled them at the time. They were saying, well, Lord, really, if you're going to do something, we want you to do it this way. We kind of put God in a box. We say, well, Lord, if you're going to do it, I want you to do it this way. But often in our lives, we need to come to that understanding that God knows the end from the beginning. And just because we can't see God in it yet, it doesn't mean that God is not in it. And with those disciples, little did they know that what awaited them in Jerusalem was a risen Savior. He had risen. It had happened already. You know, that moment of resurrection, that moment of victory, it was already there. But the fact was that just at that moment in time, they didn't see it. And we don't always see what God is doing. And often I believe that even on this side of eternity, we won't always see what God is doing. But because we don't see it, it doesn't mean that it's not God's best for us. So those 7 miles to Emmaus. Often in those 7 miles to Emmaus, we can feel alone. First thing I want to remind us of tonight, Life Church, is that on our road to Emmaus, he always walks with us. He walks with you. He walks with me. He walked with those disciples. They were just walking, but Jesus comes alongside them and he walks with them. They were just doing life. And I want us to understand afresh this evening that just as we do life, the Jesus that is risen walks with us. The Bible says as they talked and as they discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked with them, but they did not know who he was. Amongst all of the rumors and the disappointment, Jesus was already beginning to minister to them, and they didn't even know that he was doing it. We can often feel alone. We can often feel that circumstances are difficult. We can often feel that life is not what we had thought it would work out like in a particular season. We can feel all kinds of things, yeah? And we can feel alone. We can feel abandoned. Like they could have felt like that on that day. But the amazing thing is that even though they felt like that, that wasn't true. And I think for us as followers of Jesus, listen, feelings are good. Emotions are good. Like God has given those to us. But sometimes we can't rely on our feelings because sometimes our feelings trick our minds. Like I could feel today that God doesn't love me. Just because I feel that does not make that true because God does love me. And even though these two disciples, they felt alone in those Emmaus Road moments, Life Church, God, Jesus, he walks with you. There's this footprints poem. Grandmas, they put it on the wall in their houses. So if you're not a grandma and you've got it on the wall in your house, then that's okay. But it's brilliant. And it's a Footprints poem. Graham, have you got it on the wall in your home? No, you haven't. Good for you, mate. You got it. Chris has got it. Chris definitely isn't a grandma. All right. But there are moments in our lives. I'll read it to you now. Like sometimes we feel that we're doing it alone. But it's just not true. Our feelings might say that, but the facts are very different. And here's part of that poem that the writer writes. They write this: Lord, you said once, when I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why in times when I needed you the most, you would leave me. The Lord replied, my precious, precious child, I love you, and I would never, never leave you during your times of trial and suffering. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. And what we see on the Emmaus Road is Jesus coming to these two disappointed, discouraged disciples. And what's he doing? He's carrying them. He's carrying them with his presence. He's carrying them with his encouragement. He's carrying them along that road because he didn't want them to be in that place where they were isolated and alone. He wanted to fill their minds with truth in that moment of vulnerability. And every day, Christian, on the journey, Jesus is always within earshot of our sadness or our disappointment. He hears it. He listens to us. He wants to have a conversation with us. And what does he speak? What does Jesus speak? He doesn't just go there, boys. You're going to be all right. It's going to turn out okay in the end. He doesn't. He does what he does. We see that on the road to Emmaus, his word leads us. What we see is Jesus, instead of going, "Dunna, it's me, Jesus." And in that moment, that would have served those two guys well. But it's almost as if Jesus wanted to show us that the way that he wants to minister to us and help us isn't by doing "Dunna" all the time to us. He wants to reveal himself to us, the truth of our situation, through his word, through scripture. So what does Jesus do? Instead of going, "Dunna," what does he do? The Bible says in verse 29, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning him. What Jesus did to demonstrate what his plan was he took them back to the Bible. And it was the Bible that gave those two disciples their identity in that moment. I was listening to Lectio, the app, Peter Gregg, and on Saturday they reflected upon Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was a survivor of the Holocaust. She was from Holland. During her time, she saved 800 lives. Towards the end of the war in 1943-44, she was captured by the Nazis. She was taken to a concentration camp with her father and her sister Betsy. In that concentration camp, 50,000 women died. And she gives an account of what they would do together. What they would do is they would hold a nightly prayer meeting, and they'd smuggled a tatty Bible into the prison camp. And what they would do is they would gather around the Bible. And in that, I mean, to call it an Emmaus Road experience is to underplay what it meant. But you understand, in that place of incredible disappointment, rather than allowing their circumstances to dictate who they were, what they did is they read the Word of God together. And they allowed the Word of God, they looked at their situation through the lens of Scripture to remind themselves about who they were. And this is her account. This is the account that Corrie ten Boom gives about one of those moments. She says, like waves clustered around a blazing fire, we gathered about that Bible, holding out our hearts to its warmth and light. The blacker the night around us grew, the brighter and truer and more beautiful burned the Word of God. I would look about us as Betsy read, watching the light leap from face to face. More than conquerors. It was not a wish, it was a fact. We knew it. We experienced it minute by minute, poor, hated, hungry. We were more than conquerors, not we shall, we are. Listen, Life Church, this evening, when we have those moments of disappointment, when things don't seem to be going the way we think they would go, what we need to do is we need to look at our lives through the lens of Scripture. That's what Jesus did with the disciples. It wasn't a da-da, it's me. It was a moment of taking them back to Scripture and reminding them and showing them what Scripture said. Often in our lives, it's good to fill ourselves with the Word of God, because the Word of God, it doesn't rely on our feelings. It goes on facts and it goes on what God has said. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, the psalmist says. Went to a conference this week with some leaders from our church on the issue of human sexuality and how Assemblies of God are seeking to skill leaders up and skill churches up so that we understand, like, biblically what our standpoint was. I came away really encouraged. The language of the day was kind and generous. It was grace and truth. I felt reassured as the leader of an Assemblies of God church that our church at this time is very unified about what our beliefs are around marriage and sexuality. But I felt the spirit of the day was good. But one thing that was really helpful is that whenever anyone asks us about what we think about certain issues relating to sexuality or ethics or questions in the world, we simply need to remind ourselves that we are a Jesus people, that our belief system really comes from what Jesus said about things. Because I believe that the Jesus of the Scriptures is someone who is compassionate and kind and gracious in the things that he says. But he's also someone who is truthful. And he is someone that's the Son of God who speaks with authority on these things. Remind ourselves of the words of Jesus where he says that anyone who builds his house on my words and does what they say is like a man who built his house on the rock. And that is what we seek to do. Life Church this evening, let God's word lead you. Okay, take your lead from what Scripture says, just in life generally. Like, the Bible says so many things about, it says so much about so many things. And I think often the reason why we don't know what the Bible says is because we don't digest it and we don't know it. And it's our responsibility to do that. What does Jesus say? And what does the Bible say? The Bible says there that when the disciples reflected on the moment when Jesus unpacked the Scripture to them, they use a lovely phrase there. They said, "Did our hearts not burn within us as he opened the Scriptures?" And it did. And listen, Life Church, my exhortation to you this evening is to put fuel on your fire. If you want your heart to burn, Life Church, it's not going to burn because we watch Netflix. It's not going to burn because we just kind of watch TV all day. It's not going to burn because we get so engrossed in a particular hobby. That isn't going to cause our hearts to burn. The thing that causes our hearts to burn is when we put fuel on the fire. And it doesn't need to be a lot of fuel. It needs to be some fuel. You need to put something there so that God can capture it, so that it can burn, so it can ignite something in you, that you and me might be the followers of Jesus that God calls us to be. And then finally, we see that on the road to Emmaus, we see that his wounds remind us. Isaac Watts wrote the hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." We come back to the cross again and again and again. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. It was at the cross, at the cross, at the cross. And ultimately, the thing that shifts these two men back to where they want to be, it was a picture of the cross. It was when the Bible says, as Jesus took the bread and he broke it, they had an aha moment. It was like, wow, this is Jesus. And in our lives, if we want to have those aha moments, we become so forgetful. It's no wonder Jesus put into place the breaking of bread. Jesus said, as often as you do this, in remembrance of me. What are we remembering? We're remembering the cross and Jesus' broken body and his shed blood. We're reminding ourselves. And on the Emmaus Road, in those moments of difficulty, we need to do that, because it's in those moments that our eyes are completely opened and they come to that place where they can fully comprehend who Jesus is. It was at the table, as he was breaking bread with them, that Jesus revealed himself to them. They went from being gloomy, disappointed, depressed. What did they do? They headed back to Jerusalem because they recognized that they'd got it wrong. That actually, this Jesus that they were so disappointed about, we had hoped. In fact, their hopes had come to pass, and Jesus had risen from the dead. We see they go back to Jerusalem. They meet the 11. They confirm to them, he's risen. They go back to Jerusalem. What do? There also, they meet with Jesus. Jesus comes and says, peace with you. They go back to Jerusalem, and a few weeks later, they would receive the Holy Spirit that would be poured out on the church. Cleopas and his buddy, they would have been there on Pentecost. Why? Because they didn't stay at Emmaus. They just kind of had a revelation that actually, Jesus, we got it wrong. We need to go back and we need to get it right. Often in our lives, we will have moments or hours of challenge. It doesn't mean to, I'm not saying that our road to Emmaus needs to be a backslidden moment. But those guys, you know, they started the morning in doubt. They finished the day in faith. That can be our story as well. Don't tell me you never have doubts. Don't tell me you never have disappointments. You can start the day like that. But through scripture, through fellowship, through truth, by recognizing what are feelings and what are facts, we can come to the end of the day and we can be a people that are in faith. Two takeaways, Life Church. First one is this: in our disappointments and doubts, when things don't go according to what we feel, and maybe there are ongoing situations in your life today, you're just saying, Lord, I don't get that. I don't know what's going on. First thing is this: he is always walking with us. He's always walking with us. And if you ever feel any different, it's a lie. It's not true. Listen, even when you sin and you mess up, okay, he doesn't walk away from you. If someone tells you that, it's nonsense. Okay? We can be reconciled with him. Like, we want to live in victory. We don't want to live in sin. But we have an advocate. His name is Jesus. Yeah? So he's always walking with us. Remember that. And actually, if we are in a place of compromise, when we think about that and remember that, that should cause us to run back to Jesus and to be right with him. Number one, he's always walking with us. And second thing is, when you have disappointments, doubts, when things don't go the way you've thought, the best thing to do is to put fuel on your fire. It was as Jesus unpacked the scriptures that they ultimately had that revelation that actually he's risen, he's alive. They were going on their feelings, but scripture moved them towards the facts and faith. Life Church, put fuel on your fire, because it means that as we see life through the lens of scripture, we're not pulled to and fro by culture. But what we do is we follow what Jesus says. We follow the Sermon on the Mount, yeah? We follow what Jesus' lens on things are. And as we do that, then we follow him in a way that's honouring to him.
We've come to the end of this week's message. hope you've been impacted and inspired. Keep up to date with everything that's happening by visiting our website at www.lifechurchwarrington.com.